I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Saturday, January 16th, 2021, and this is episode 103 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. Trying to say the right year is a struggle sometimes. Today's episode is sponsored by The Rancher Meets His Match by Kate Pierce. For the hardworking folks of Morgantown, home really is where the heart is, but sometimes it takes leaving for a while to figure that out. In New York Times bestselling author Kate Pierce's fourth Millers of Morgan Valley novel, Caden Miller uses his carpenter skills to renovate the rundown neighboring ranch for the ailing owner, the father of his childhood nemesis, Julia Garcia. Can these two old foes ignore the sparks between them? Fans of Linda Lale Miller, Jennifer Ryan, and Lindsay McKenna will find a lot to love in this contemporary Western romance, which promises swoons, laughter, and even a few tears. You can find The Rancher Meets His Match by Kate Pierce wherever books are sold or at kensingtonbooks.com. So this week's best thing is a song that has been in my head for a week since I heard it last Saturday. And actually, I play it several times a day. I sing it to myself. You might have heard it online, but if you haven't, I'm going to actually play you a clip because I got permission from the artist. The song is called Earth is Ghetto, and it's by Aaliyah Sheffield. And I first heard it on Instagram when my husband was playing it, and he was like, you have to listen to this. She's a songwriter, and she just does very simple arrangements, but it's gone viral, and lots of musicians have put on various versions and overlaid their music on top of hers. So I'll link to her Instagram. Now I will play you a brief clip of this earworm so that it will be in your head as much as it is in mine.
Earth is ghetto, I wanna leave, can you beam me up? I'm out on the street by the corner store, you know the one on 15th. Got a bright shirt on so I'm easy to see. I've been down here stranded indefinitely. I can't reach my planet, but I need to leave. You should see these people, it's hard to believe how they treat each other. It's hard to conceive, oh, Earth is ghetto.
So I highly recommend you listen to the song. It's on, the whole thing's on YouTube. It's shorter on Instagram. Listen, because the second verse is great too. And I actually sent her some money on Cash App because it just brought me so much joy this week. And she's going to release a single version that we can buy. But, you know, things going viral don't always correlate to actual money when people put things out into the world for free. And so I always try to support people. There were several comments from last week's episode, so I wanted to thank everyone who left a comment. One of the comments from Lisa, shout out to Lisa, was asking about the current events in DC and how it impacts the book that I'm writing, which is set in Washington, DC. And I told her that, you know, it's really interesting because my book is set in 1925, and one of the main reasons I set it then, I wanted to set it during the Harlem Renaissance, during that period of time, but in DC, not in Harlem. And I picked 25 because in August of 1925, the Ku Klux Klan marched down Pennsylvania Avenue. I found these articles about it in the Washington Post and the other Washington newspapers, and it was at the very height of the Klan's influence, popularity, membership. Apparently there was infighting between the Klan, so the Klan that marched in D.C. was mostly from the North. The Southern organizations, by and large, didn't show up because of whatever infighting was happening. And so in the current draft, it's a very minor part of the book, but it does appear like extremely minor, but it features into just the environment that my characters are living in, you know, like I'm not writing a book about the Klan, and I'm not even writing necessarily about lynching. I'm trying not to write about Black pain and Black torture. I want to write sort of joyful, but I mean, there's a lot of like struggles and conflicts in the book, and the characters aren't necessarily joyful for most of it, but not because of, you know, necessarily the Klan or white people in general, you know, other than the fact that they live in America in 1925. So it hasn't changed anything. You know, the current events just reinforce everything that I'm talking about and every reason that I have for writing the book and for telling the story. Writing update. I ended up taking off Friday instead of today, Saturday, so I'll have to write today. So my numbers aren't as high as I would want. I'm at 21,462 words as of Thursday, which is the last day I wrote. And I had gotten a little higher than that, and then I had to cut some words. But no big deal. I have another few scenes to revise, and that will definitely increase the word count. I'm on chapter 9, I believe. So things are moving along. I haven't hit any big snags. I'm still really enjoying it. I got to do a scene I was really excited about this week, and I still would like to go back through and layer more things in. There's another pass with more detail and more sensory images, because those things are difficult for me. Even in this pass where I'm trying to kind of do everything, I think there is another pass of even more layering, even more just kind of building the world. Because this is still the second draft of the book, so I'm trying to make it as clean as possible. But I know it's not going to be the final draft. So yeah, balancing that, like getting to the end, getting it good enough so that an editor can weigh in and have room to, you know, have feedback, and that I haven't polished it to the nth degree so that if I have to go back and make some changes, I'll feel bad about it. So not much on that front to report. No big snags, just kind of doing the workmanlike, you know, getting in there, reading the scene, either redrafting it, revising it as it needs, and moving forward, which is the word of the day. Focus has been difficult again this week, but getting up every day and doing the work and being busy, you know, definitely helps. So yeah, just it's going. It was a busy week in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of things happening. A lot of like fielding emails. Like one day I opened my email inbox, and I was just like, oh no, this is going to take a while. But I did actually get through my entire to-do list. Some things were a little bit late, but I got them done by Friday, and I was very proud of myself for that productivity through emotional disturbance and world disturbances. There was an article from Written Word Media on the top 10 publishing trends every author needs to know in 2021. I do think it's worth a read. I will link to it. Trend number one is that more traditional authors will move to the indie model, which I thought was really interesting. And I saw this article linked to in some group that I'm in that it's not an indie group, or is it? I can't remember. But they were just talking about how true they believe this is, how many more traditional authors will move to indie. And that probably is true. The tone of the comments, at least in that Facebook group, were a little bit misleading. Like, as a hybrid author who publishes traditional and indie, they are both very hard. Moving to indie is not some guarantee that your income is going to skyrocket. And that was the tone of these authors who are extremely well earning. So yeah, from their perspective, sure, come to indie, make all the money. But for all of the many indies who go indie and still aren't making that much money, like, I don't sell extremely well indie. And I don't put like forth the effort that it would take both in planning what I'm going to write and in the marketing. And I'll tell you that right now. But, you know, indie is great. I enjoy my indie work. I enjoy all the aspects of it. Being involved in the cover and, you know, the graphics and laying out the books, I find that fun. But I'm not under the illusion that just because I enjoy it means it's going to be, you know, a huge income. There's lots of different ways to make money indie, and a lot of those ways I'm just not interested in doing. So I will continue to publish what I want, but, you know, I know, and I set my expectations, and when people ask me about it, because people who know that I started indie and then went traditional, and they're like, oh, which one should I do? It is, I always try to emphasize how difficult both paths are, how some authors and some books are more aligned for one than another. So it's not necessarily that an author has to be, you know, obviously many people are hybrid, but some book projects would do better with trad. And by do better, that's also like, okay, what am I even talking about? Is it just money? Is it readers? Is it acclaim, prestige? What are the factors that you're considering? And every author has to figure that out for themselves. So especially with the shakeup in traditional publishing with Simon & Schuster and Penguin Random House, the merging on the horizon, which will shake things up a lot, you know, going from Big Five to Big Four, potentially, when it was Big Six just a few years ago. Yeah, you know, at a certain point, will Penguin Random House Simon Schuster, whatever they're going to call themselves, need all of their imprints and all of their editors and all of their staff? Probably not. Will they publish all the things they're publishing now? I mean, who knows? There's just, it's houses closing down, houses merging. Yeah, traditional is a mess and they put you through a lot. But indie is not a panacea. And I guess that was just my thought. It's a panacea if you just want to do your own thing. But if you're thinking that you're going to go indie and just because there's all these 5, 6, 7-figure authors, and you're going to be one of them, well, you can be. Like, there's no reason why you can't be. But you have to play the indie game in general, like with very few exceptions, to do that. And the indie game is rough and it takes a lot out of you, just like the traditional game is rough and takes a lot out of you. Being an author is not easy. And I often ask myself, why was this my dream? Regardless of how you publish, I was reminded again this week that trusting yourself as an artist is always going to be extremely important. I mean, you have to trust yourself to query. You have to trust yourself to put your indie work out into the marketplace. And regardless of the feedback that you get, whether it's reviews, whether it's rejections, whatever's happening, at the end of the day, you have to be like, this book is solid. I believe in it. I believe in my story and my writing. And also be really honest with yourself when maybe it does need another look. Maybe this book isn't as solid as you thought it was. Getting external feedback, choosing who to listen to, what to listen to, how to accept feedback. I mean, there's so much that goes on. It's mind-boggling. So I did get some bad news this week that had me thinking about this and causing me to doubt, you know, some things that I was doing. And I just have to remember, I have to trust myself and always go back to the why you're doing this, what you're trying to say, what you're trying to put into the world, and really using that as your sort of lodestone and keep that in the forefront of your mind. I'll probably be able to talk about it sometime soon, but not today. And I hate when people do that. Like, I try not to do that, but there's a lot of things as an author that things happen and you want to talk about them, but you can't. But one day I will, and I will tell you. Oh, reading. I was able to read. I binged the entire, oh gosh, what's the name of the series? The Jesse Mihalik series. It starts with the book Polaris Rising. It is a sci-fi romance that takes place in the future, on spaceships, no aliens. Everybody's a human, but it is sci-fi in the fact that it's, you know, lots of different planets. So it's a trilogy. And at first I thought it was going to be one of those trilogies where it's the same couple per book, which is not my favorite thing, but it is a different couple per book. And I loved it. I inhaled them. I read them all in 3 days. I had bought them like, I don't know, years ago when the first book came out. I would buy them. I just hadn't sat down to read them. So it's one of those cases when I finally did, I was in the mood for sci-fi romance and I definitely recommend them. I liked the amount of science that she had. It wasn't overwhelming. You could tell that she thought through everything. It felt like that way to me. And the world felt thought through. And the conflict is based on the idea of a faster FTL drive for spaceships. And she has all of these kind of rules. There's no magic in it, but the science fiction rules and the way that the spaceships work. And I really enjoyed that. You know, I'm not a huge science fiction reader. I used to read more when I was younger, but I don't like hard sci-fi. Like, I don't like to be assaulted by science. But this level of science is very palatable to me. And it's not, I wouldn't even call it light. I think it's very medium, very like approachable, digestible amount of science in the science fiction. So check it out. I also read another book called Half a Soul by Olivia Atwater that was recommended in someone's newsletter. It's a fantasy regency romance that has fairies and it's very fun. It is like very original. I really enjoyed it a lot. It is sweet, so go in knowing that if that's not your thing, but like a different kind of heroine. It's a regency that talks about class and class differences and the responsibility of the wealthy, and but not in a way that is like overbearing and preachy. So Half a Soul, Olivia Atwater. Check it out if you need something good to read. Also this week in healthy writer news, you know, I've been working with a personal trainer once a week. And so this week was the return of weightlifting. I used to lift weights a lot more before I started climbing, honestly, before I started rock climbing. And so for the past like two or three years, I haven't lifted very much. So we went back to basics, you know, barbell squats, deadlifts, bench press, the whole nine, which, like I said, haven't done in years. And that was Wednesday. Today's Saturday. I'm still extremely sore. We started out like relatively light, but heavier than I would have done if I was on my own. Like, I would have done everything with the bar, and then I would have added like 5 pounds. She's like, oh no, we're doing 75 pounds. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I mean, I could do it. Should I have done it? But I trusted her and she believed I could do it. And I mean, I did it. I'm just very, very sore. So I also haven't been eating enough. Like when you lift weights, like heavy weights, you have to eat to lift. And that is contributing to the soreness. But I do enjoy lifting weights. I do kind of miss it. I don't miss the feeling for the next several days. So we'll see. I was thinking that maybe I can incorporate it into my workouts a little bit more. I do recommend lifting heavy weights to everyone who is able to. A lot of people look at me askance, especially women, and I'm like, you know, you lifted those heavy-ass children that you have. That child is at least 65 pounds. You can lift a barbell, right? Anyway, I'm sore, and I like to complain about it. So coming up this week, it's Martin Luther King week. I always forget these kind of holidays because I'm self-employed and I don't actually take the holidays off. I need to work Monday, but maybe I'll take a break and sing the Stevie Wonder birthday song. But happy MLK Day to everyone. My goals this week, I have, let's see, what chapters am I writing this week in the book? So this week is chapters 10 through 13. So today, over the weekend, I'll finish chapter 9, and then, yeah, get 10 through 13 done over the course of the week. That's the plan. I have got a million meetings this week. It's going to be a little hectic, but writing first, make sure I get it done before I get to work and get completely taken by other things. Because anytime I don't write first, like Friday when I didn't write, it was because we weren't meeting at 8. My partner had to cancel. And so I just got tempted by my email. And then the day went on from there, which is why I'm writing today. And it ended up taking a day off de facto. So follow my own rules. Write first. Get it done. And yeah, I hope that this week is peaceful and calm. It's the inauguration week. I know that they've turned DC into a fortress. And yeah, let's all just send out positive energy and prayers and whatever you do, that everything will go smoothly and that we are not, in fact, living in the end times. And that I will be here to talk to you next week. So I hope that you have a productive and peaceful week. For episode show notes and to sign up for the FitNotes newsletter to get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.
I got 5-volt fuel if you need it from me. I'll sit in the back if we're riding too deep.